If you're just joining us, we're learning about the CURD Act on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. CURD stands for Codifying Useful Regulatory Definitions, C-U-R-D, and the goal is to protect the integrity of natural cheese without any confusion from the likes of processed cheese. Think the Velveeta and Cheese Whiz of the world. So this is federal legislation with bipartisan support. Are you a Wisconsin cheesemaker? How did you get into the industry? What types of cheese do you make? Do you support legally defining natural cheese? We're at 800-642-1234. Scientist Mark Johnson is assistant director at the Center for Dairy Research at UW-Madison. His research includes developing, manufacturing, and ripening protocols for unique cheeses, a study of cheese characteristics, and cheese defects. Mark, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you for having me, Kate.
So the CURD Act, it would legally define what counts as natural cheese. What do you make of this legislation?
We don't have a definition of natural cheese. The FDA has a definition for processed cheese, but not natural cheese. There needs to be a definition for what natural is because other organizations are looking to define what natural is, and it doesn't necessarily include how we make cheese, natural cheese.
So you would support it?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, yeah.
Absolutely.
How does the CURD Act define natural cheese? What are the parameters here?
Well, states that we use milk, we can add a coloring agent, we use bacteria, we can add rennet and salt.
What is rennet?
Rennet is a clotting agent. We get milk to solidify.
How is it different from processed cheese?
Okay, natural cheese is made by adding starter bacteria to milk. The starter bacteria ferment lactose and create lactic acid. Cheese making is really a dehydration and fermentation process. So after we add the bacteria, they're always fermenting the sugar, natural sugar. We add a clotting agent, rennet, that solidifies the milk. We can then cut the curd or the solidified milk into curds that are about half an inch to a quarter of an inch in diameter, and this helps facilitate the loss of whey. So milk is about 87% water. Cheese is going to be 37% water. So by cutting into small cubes, I remove some of the water. Along with heating the curds, I also expel some of the whey. And once we get the right amount of acid developed, the right amount of water loss from the curd, we then drain to separate the whey from the curd. And when that's all drained off, we add salt. We let it mellow for about a half an hour, and then we put it into a box, and we press it. And that helps to squeeze the individual curd particles into a solid mass of cheese. The blocks could be 5 pounds, 20 pounds, 40 pounds, 700 pounds. And then about 3 weeks later, we put the cheese then, after it's in the box and press it, we put it into a ripening room where it develops flavor. So the ripening room could be 3 weeks up to several years, where during that time it develops flavor. That's a natural cheese. Have you ever had a pizza and you see oil on the surface?
Yes.
Okay, you use natural cheddar and you put it on a hamburger and it oils off?
Mm-hmm.
In order to prevent that from happening, we make a processed cheese. Processed cheese also doesn't ripen. So we take natural cheese, we add emulsifying salts that change the structure of the protein so they surround the fat and prevent the fat from leaking out when you heat it. That's the big difference. These emulsifying salts are sodium phosphate and sodium citrate. We heat this blend to around 165 degrees. It kills bacteria and enzymes that might be present in the cheese, so it's basically a shelf-stable product. It doesn't age, it doesn't ripen, get more flavor. One of the misconceptions about processed cheese is how much cheese is in processed cheese?
Yeah.
Greater than 95%.
Oh, wow.
The rest of it is maybe no more than about 2.5 to 3% of the emulsifying salts. The rest is butter and added water. So it's natural cheese that we've converted into a shelf-stable product that doesn't oil off.
We're talking about the Curd Act and the distinction between natural cheese and processed cheese with Mark Johnson. He's a cheese technologist for the Center for Dairy Research at UW-Madison. You can join in. Are you a dairy farmer? Where do you sell your milk? Do you work in a cheese processing plant? Tell us about your cheese making experience. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mark, how would the Curd Act help cheesemakers and processors in Wisconsin? What is the impact to them?
I think it's an educational opportunity to tell people what natural cheese is and distinguish it from a processed cheese. And I think by doing that, people, the misconceptions about what processed cheese and also what maybe natural cheese is.
Do you think the bill would have any effect on consumers? Do we know or care?
That's a good question. For the most part, if you're from Wisconsin, you know the difference. Maybe from another state, the word natural might imply something else. But it's only been around for about 100 years.
You've said there are some misconceptions about processed cheeses. Can you help us understand that? Because as you mentioned there, processed cheese is 95 to 98% cheese.
Right. One of the misconceptions is that only bad cheese goes into making processed cheese. That's not the case. Very tiny amount of cheese that didn't meet certain specifications, it might have an off flavor, it might be too high in moisture, something is wrong with the cheese, or it's too old. We only use about 10% of that in making processed cheese. The rest of the cheese is high-quality cheese made specifically for the processed cheese industry.
Should processed cheese get such a, perhaps, a bad rap?
No, it's got high nutrition. You know, the only bad rap that I can see, and we're working on this, is it's high in sodium. But we're looking at developing emulsifying salts that don't have sodium in it, so we can use these ingredients that are naturally made from milk that will prevent oiling off and lower the sodium content.
Why do you think we should label it differently then?
Because we add an outside ingredient, the emulsifying salts, to make cheese, to make the processed cheese. The natural cheese, we just take milk, we add rennet, we add coloring that is a naturally based color, and we add salt, and that's it.
You've been in the dairy industry research end of this for decades, more than 30 years. Have you seen technology impact how we make cheese, natural cheese and processed cheese?
Oh, absolutely. It used to be very hands-on. The larger factories were even all hands-on. We've got automated equipment that will do what I used to do with my hands and arms. But we also have ways of concentrating milk before we make cheese. So the typical yield of cheese is about 10 pounds of cheese for 100 pounds of milk. If I remove some of the water before I make the cheese, I can boost that to 13, 14, 15 pounds of cheese for every 100 pounds of milk, which increases the efficiency of dairy plants.
So increased in efficiency, more automation. Have we become better at making cheese through the decades?
Oh, I think so. I judge in cheese contests.
I know.
And I can see the quality of the cheese in those contests have really upscaled. Absolutely.
You've also tasted some cheeses at contests where you worried on the other end of taking that bite about your own health and viability afterward. What was going on there?
Well, I tend to judge the cheeses that are, if you will, weird. They're not the cheddars, the mozzarellas. They're stinky cheeses.
Uh-huh.
Because we've had a lot of experience with them. And in one case at the American Cheese Society, we opened up a package of cheese, and it smelled. It smelled like a barnyard. I mean, in the worst case. You know where I'm going, but I won't say it. And I touched it, and it was fluffy. And so I poked it with a knife, and it went, psst. And I said, I'm not eating that cheese. You know, that was the worst case.
So you didn't touch it. But what makes cheese smelly?
Well, the bacteria have to eat. And there's a lot of bacteria in the cheese, and they're going to basically break down the fats and the proteins. And in the byproduct is going to be the flavor compounds. And some of those are smelly when they get to a high level. Sometimes I add bacteria like the Limburger. I'm adding a yeast also, and a specific type of bacteria that releases sulfur compounds from amino acids that contain sulfur. And they, like hydrogen sulfide, and they stink, sewer gas kind of smell. But the inside of the cheese tastes fine. It's just you get it by the nose.
You just have to get past the smell.
Yeah, that's right.
We are learning about the Curd Act and what makes natural cheese natural and what makes processed cheese processed. Mark Johnson is sorting it out for us. He's assistant director at the UW-Madison Center for Dairy Research at UW-Madison. And you can join in. Are you a dairy farmer? Where do you sell your milk? Do you work in a cheese processing plant? Tell us about your cheese making experience at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll get back to our conversation on cheese processing with Mark Johnson here. Stay with us. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about federal legislation. It's called the Curd Act here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. This bill would create a formal definition of natural cheese, and it's meant to stake some ground, if you will, clear up confusion with melty cheese, processed cheese product that was ladled over your nachos at the concession stand over the weekend. Getting this right is big business. Wisconsin cheesemakers make about a quarter of our country's cheese. Our dairy industry has about a $45 billion economic impact. What questions do you have about how your cheese is made and labeled? Would you support clearer definitions for categories of cheeses? Join in at 800-642-1234. UW-Madison scientist Mark Johnson is assistant director at the Center for Dairy Research, and he stays with us. So, Mark, if the Curd Act passes, and there is bipartisan support for it on Capitol Hill, this would benefit natural cheesemakers. Could it harm in the process processed cheesemakers?
I don't think so. I think people read labels. They can see what's on the processed cheese. I think if people start looking at what natural, then they start thinking about processed cheese and look at it in more detail, they realize that's not such a bad product. It's mostly cheese. It's not bad cheese. It's nutritious. So it's not some chemical concoction that some weird scientist thought up. So it's nutritious food.
Why is processed cheese more affordable than some of the cheeses we see in the cheese section, the natural cheeses?
Well, the processed cheese industry will buy cheese when it's one day old or 2 weeks old, and it's then cheaper because it costs about a penny and a half per pound to age it per month. Plus, they buy cheeses that maybe have gone over the hill on flavor development or the body has broken down too much. These are opportunity cheeses, and you can't sell them at the regular price, so they sell them to the processed cheese industry for a much reduced price, and that lowers the price of then the processed cheese.
What is the makeup of our Wisconsin cheese market? Is it mostly natural or processed cheese? What is the breakdown there?
I don't know what the exact breakdown is, but most of the cheese that we consume is going to be natural cheese. Cheddar and mozzarella, especially pizza cheese.
Pizza, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's a natural cheese.
Well, let's take a call now. Dave is joining us from northern Wisconsin. Good morning, Dave.
Hi, good morning.
What's your question?
My question, I have a salt restriction in my diet, and I would appreciate being able to buy a cheese that has a lower salt content. But I never really see that when I go to buy cheese in the supermarket. Is there a way to distinguish, or am I looking in the wrong section of the supermarket to find natural cheese? I never seem to see that.
Yeah, you may not see the word natural cheese on the label, but for salt, you see a sodium it has to be labeled how much sodium is in the cheese per serving. So you will see that. Processed cheese will have a lot more, but there are some cheeses that are naturally low in sodium. So if you have to restrict your diet and still want cheese, Swiss cheese meets the low sodium requirement. There's ricotta, mascarpone, but typically when I remove the salt out of a cheese that you normally consider salt added, it tastes different. It's very, very, very mild.
Yeah, when
but
I
you
taste,
can still
that,
see them.
Taste that lacy Swiss cheese, it doesn't taste like some of the other cheeses.
right. So there are some cheeses that are we don't add a lot of salt to.
Dave,
is it in the
regular cheese section. You can find it in the regular cheese sections. There are some low sodium products, but because the demand for those is not as high as they used to be, you might find it harder to find.
Dave, what do you think of Swiss cheese?
Oh, I like Swiss cheese, and I realize it is lower in salt content. I purchased some to make some mescal potatoes with recently. Yeah, it is very good.
Yep.
Well, thanks so much for the call, Dave. Mark, what are some of the most prominent natural cheeses produced in Wisconsin? Where do we make our mark?
We make our mark in cheddar. Cheddar and Italian types, so mozzarella, Parmesan, Romano, those are up-and-coming. And a lot of Hispanic cheese are being made in Wisconsin. This would be queso fresco, queso blanco cheese.
And what are our most popular exports?
Cheddar and mozz.
Yeah. Cheddar and mozz,
We also produce the majority of what we call specialty cheeses, like Havarti, Munster, Brick, and they're very popular in the state.
How have you seen the scale of operations change over the decades? Are we do we run a lot of small shops? Are they medium-sized cheese processors?
We have 132 cheese factories in Wisconsin. 41 of those factories make around 90% of the cheese. So we have small manufacturers that maybe process 10 to 20,000 pounds. Those are tiny. And then the medium-sized plants, maybe up to 100,000. And then we have some plants, very few, but we still have plants that process more than 3 million pounds of milk a day. Some out in the West Coast go up to 10 million pounds a day. So most of the factories here, most of the factories would be smaller compared to other states like California and Idaho.
I would assume then Wisconsin milk is being used for this cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so close. You're so close to the source.
Right. We used to have a deficit and we'd have to import a lot. But we get import from Minnesota and Iowa. We still do. So. And we used to use a lot of powder from California, so we would say that we would make a lot of good California cheese in Wisconsin.
Have you seen these cheesemakers scale up their operations at all, or do they stay pretty much the same in terms of size?
No, we see them scaling up. We see time and time again what we call small manufacturers adding on, increasing their business. Yep.
We're talking about the Curd Act and the distinction between natural cheese and processed cheese with Mark Johnson. He's a cheese technologist for the Center for Dairy Research at UW-Madison. Your questions are welcome. Do you pay attention to where and how your cheese is made before you buy it? Would you support clear definitions for categories of cheeses? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Mark, what does it take to become a cheesemaker? What is that process like?
Okay, we have in Wisconsin a requirement to have a cheese made from a licensed cheesemaker. That requires that the apprentice cheesemaker work with a previously licensed cheesemaker for, I think it's over 600 hours. I don't know the exact amount, but you have to have this apprenticeship. You also have to take a test. Most of the test is about the rules, regulations on how to procure milk and how to make the cheese. So it's really for safety purposes. So we make quality cheeses. And then you have to take the test, you know, and pass that test. We have a program sponsored with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin called the Master Cheesemaker Program. where we have take licensed cheesemakers. They have to be licensed for at least 10 years, and they get certified in being a master in a certain cheese. They have to have made that cheese for 5 years. They have to take a series of classes at the university. It's a 3-year period of time. They have to take, I think, 5 classes. Their cheeses get judged. Their dairy plant gets judged. And after all of that process, they have to take a test, a written test. It's open book, and it could be 40 to 80 hours to write that test. And they have to verify where they get the answers from.
Wow.
So we give them a series of books, and they can read so they become very well educated on how to make cheese.
How long did it take for you to become a judge?
About 20 years. I had very good mentors, and I think they were like training me, but didn't quite feel like I was there until one day one of the head judge of a contest who I knew said, "I have this contest I want you to judge." So he kind of put me in a trial and error, I think, see if I could do it. And so I guess I succeeded because I've been doing it for the last 20 years.
Well, let's take a call here. Saul is joining us from Stevens Point. Hi, Saul.
Yeah, hi. I had two questions. The first one was, shredded cheese is really popular now, and what do they use to keep the shreds from sticking together? Because when I do it myself, it's all lumps up.
Oh, absolutely. They're going to add something like, it's called an anti-caking agent, which is cellulose or starch, and they add it up to just the amount that's necessary to keep the curds or the strands from re-knitting together again. And that's roughly around 2% of the weight of the cheese is this cellulose or starch they add.
Go ahead, Saul.
Is it something I taste?
No.
Or sense in some way?
You could sense if they use too much. There's no standard on how much they how much they can add. It's just pretty much don't add more than you need. But some people, and sometimes in some cases, they might add a little bit too much, and you might get a grittiness in your mouth, like a chalky feeling. You can actually see it, a little white specks on the surface of the shreds.
I was going to say, does it give you any discoloration?
It might get a little white,
mm-hmm.
So it doesn't look shiny. It's you can see there might be like crystals on it or something. That's when they overdo it. I might add, though, that if you bake with that, the anti-caking agents will prevent the cheese from melting as well. They'll stick together a little, or not stick together, won't flow as readily as you do if you shredded it at home and used it right away. But it's still good. You're not going to taste it.
All right. Well, Saul, thanks so much for the call. And Mark, thank you so much for coming by. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Mark Johnson is Assistant Director at the UW-Madison Center for Dairy Research, and he joined us to talk about the Curd Act and what makes cheese natural or processed. Coming up, we take stock of the Packers halfway through the regular season. How are you feeling? Did you watch last night's victory over the Chiefs? What were the highs and lows for you? We're at 800-642-1234. Back in a moment for some Packers conversation. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.